Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in St. Luke chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. This parable teaches us something about the Word of God. It talks about the Word, and it talks about faith. And it compares the Word to the seed that is sown into the ground, and it refers to faith as the ground itself. This parable teaches that the Word of God is inherently powerful. Isaiah chapter 55, the prophet, God speaks through him saying that his word is like the rain and the snow that comes down from heaven and doesn't go back up into the sky until it has watered the earth and bringing forth the fruit of the field to provide seed for the sower and bread for the eater. God promises that his word is what we like to call inherently efficacious. In other words, it has the power of God because it is God's word. And the word of God is always powerful. Even the word of God that is not believed is powerful because it's the same seed that is sown on rock, the same seed that is sown on the wayside among the thorns, the same seed that is sown in the good ground, it's all the same seed. And what that means is that the preacher can't claim credit for the faith of those to whom he preaches, and the preacher cannot take the blame for the unbelief of those to whom he preaches, because the power is never in the preacher. The power is in the word. It's in the seed. This parable teaches us about bad attitudes people have that reject the word of God. And he has four categories, three bad attitudes and one good attitude. Let's just take a brief look at each of the four. First, it is that group of people who hear the word of God and never believe it. This is the seed that falls by the wayside. And then the birds come by and they eat it up before it can take any kind of root at all. This is the word of God that people hear and they don't believe it. The devil falsifies God's word, and that's that. They think it's nonsense. They think it's foolishness. They think it's a scandal. They think it's all sorts of things, but they never actually consider that it may be true and that God is speaking to them. There's nothing wrong with the word they hear. There's plenty wrong with them. They clearly see no need for their God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and faith never even begins to take root in their hearts. That's the seed that falls along the side of the road and the birds come and eat it. The second category is those who believe for a while and then they fall away. Jesus refers to this as the seed that falls on the rock. It springs up and then it withers away because it lacks any moisture. These are people, they hear the word, and they're full of joy when they hear it. They think it's great. They believe. They sincerely believe. But their faith is so shallow that it lasts just a little while. When temptation comes, when the difficulties of life come, then they just simply fall away. There's a popular opinion. I guess you could trace it all the way back to John Calvin, and it has been embraced by a huge portion of American evangelicalism. This popular opinion I'm referring to is called once saved, always saved. I remember reading a book several years back by a very popular preacher. The name of the book was Eternal Security, You Can Be Sure. And the way this fella teaches Christians that they can be sure that they're going to heaven is by contriving this false doctrine that once you become a believer, you cannot ever fall away. Well, that is patently false. The parable Jesus tells us here tells us that's false. He says they believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Once saved, always saved is false doctrine. You can be sure that you are saved. You can know without any doubt that you're going to heaven when you die because Christ is your Savior from sin. He tells you in His holy word, and you're believing that word, so you know for sure that the word is true. You can know you're going to heaven, but you don't base this confidence on a false doctrine. Once saved, always saved, because people have believed and have fallen away. And here Jesus clearly says they believe for a while and they fall away. The third category are those who believe and then the whole world just overwhelms them. This is the seed that falls among the thorns. And other things take precedence in their life over the word of God. They need to make a living. And going to church on a Sunday morning gets in the way of making a good living. They need to deal with all of these problems, and so they seek out help from therapists and counselors who don't know anything at all about Jesus or God's law or gospel or the truth of the word of God. They just deal with all sorts of symptoms. And so as they go through life, they conform more and more to the standards and to the values of a world that doesn't know God. And before you know it, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life just choke out that faith and destroy it. Again, nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed that falls on along the side of the road. There's nothing wrong with the seed that falls among the rocks. And there's nothing wrong with the seed that falls among the thorns. But there's plenty wrong with the soil, which brings us to the last category, the good ground. They are those who hear the word with a noble and good heart and keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, what is that good ground? I don't know a whole lot about farming, but I think that you're supposed to plow before you plant. I heard something about that, so that the seed will go down into the ground and not just lay there on top of the ground for the birds to come and eat. Now, to be plowed hurts. And when God plows you and prepares you to receive His word, that's not an enjoyable experience. We look to the word. We look to the word. We don't look to our faith. We don't look to our feeling. We don't look to our experience. We don't look to what we suffer in life. But here's the thing. You're not going to look to that word until God plows the soil and gets your attention and shows you that you need God's word more than you need all these other things that you think are so important in your life. God has to smash a few idols to get your attention so that you will listen to what He has to say in His word. St. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. God had given him a vision of heaven itself. And Paul said that in order that I might not become conceited, He gave me this thorn in the flesh, which He called a messenger of Satan. And he begged that Jesus would take away this terrible suffering that he was enduring. And Jesus said, no, I won't take away this suffering. Because my strength, Jesus said, is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes suffering is good for you. If that is the occasion for God to plant His word deep down into your heart so that you hold on to it and not let go. And this is why these feel-good preachers who promise you all sorts of success here and now and say, no, God doesn't want you to suffer, they're false teachers. And they come, they're a dime a dozen. Every generation has its own feel-good, positive-thinking, prosperity-type preacher, from Norman Vincent Peale to Robert Schuller to Joel Osteen. Depending on how old you are, you'll recognize these names. They all have the same message, that here and now is the joy and the success that God wants you to have, but the Word of God promises you something so much greater than they promise you. Promises you that what comes out of the suffering of Jesus is what's going to bring you joy. Don't look to success in your life. Look to suffering at the cross. Then you will see your life. Because there, when Jesus suffered, all suffering is sanctified. There, when Jesus suffered, He bore in His own body the sin of the world, the punishment of God, the anger of God, the damnation of sinners He suffered on the cross. And in so doing, He wiped out God's judgment against you, because what He did was vicarious. That is, He was your substitute, and He satisfied the demands of justice by paying for your sins. Now you look at the suffering of Jesus. You ponder this suffering. And now you can see that suffering isn't always bad. And when you suffer in life, when you suffer a loss, you're not earning anything. Christ earned everything. But you are being conformed to Him who died for you. And sometimes suffering God uses for your benefit to prepare the soil of your heart so that the Word of God will grow inside of you and produce wonder. God wants for you is coming. God says so. He promises it, and He will bring it to you by His grace. But in the meantime, you receive the seed that He sows and live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast.